You're listening to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and I'm recording this introduction retrospectively after having interviewed Paul McGuire and Troy Anderson, who are the guests on the show today. And I can say that it's a fascinating interview, jam-packed with information, and I'm sure you will all get a lot out of it. I'm glad to be able to welcome back to the A Minute to Midnight show Paul McGuire and Troy Anderson. It's a few weeks ago we had you two on the show, and it was really well received, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, so I'm really rapt to have you two back. So how are you doing there, Paul?
Tony, it's great to be on your program again. And last time I thought it was a pretty intense interview, so we had a good time. And of course, Troy Anderson is on with us. Troy, why don't you introduce yourself and let's move forward.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for inviting us back on the program. That was a great show last time, and appreciate that.
Well, I think one of the things that Troy and I wanted to talk about, and as you know, we wrote this best-selling prophecy book, which by God's grace is still a best-selling prophecy book, called The Babylon Code. And in it, we dealt with Mystery Babylon as kind of a hidden control mechanism by the secret occult elite that rules this world. Some people call it, you know, the shadow government or the deep state. It has many names. And the thing that has been concerning both of us a lot lately is the real acceleration of this Orwellian 1984 manipulation of truth, distortion of truth, manufacturing truth, and just flat-out propaganda, scientific mind control, persuasion, social engineering. Just in your face. It's like the Orwellian Big Brother fascist troops are moving forward. I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I see it all over the EU press. I read occasionally press in your area, Tony, and of course in the United States, it's ridiculous. And the thing that concerns me is all of this media manipulation, which it's very funny that the mainstream media, which is owned by just six corporations, and those six corporations are owned by the globalists, they are the greatest promoters and creators of fake news on the planet. Yet they play this little 1984 Orwellian game where they call anybody that doesn't agree with their perspective, they call those people fake news. And of course, fake news is always people with a Christian belief or a Bible prophecy belief, or in certain cases, a conservative belief. And so they are George Orwell's Big Brother in 1984. And the thing that concerns me, and the thing that concerns Troy, is we believe there's going to be a very fast acceleration of censorship, of taking down websites, blog sites, using computer algorithms from the big social media giants, who are the absolute worst in terms of censorship. And then eventually, Christianity, which is already being censored on the internet, they will completely shut down biblical Christians and biblical truth. So if you dare to say, for example, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, we're stone's throw away from hearing the next statement, which is, if you say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through him, that will be hate speech, and you'll be censored off the internet.
Yeah, you know, I've worked in the mainstream media and the media for 25 years, and I've watched this unfold. You know, when I went to journalism school, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s, you know, we were taught investigative reporting. We were taught to, you know, follow the money, to be objective, and, you know, to be as good a journalist as we possibly can, and, you know, tell the public the truth. And so I've, you know, devoted my life to, you know, telling, you know, the real story, telling people the truth of what's really happening, and digging and finding the evidence, interviewing people, and trying to get this information out to the public so they can make informed decisions, regarding politics and culture in their lives. And over the last decade or so, there's been this, as newspapers, laid off, tens of thousands of reporters and everything changed in the media landscape. A lot of the investigative reporters and conservatives in the media were sort of forced out, and so you now have this mainstream media that is, it's very tightly controlled. It's very biased. It's liberal now. And there's, you can just, you just sort of read a story, just sort of watch a TV show, and you could see this globalist point of view and this certain, message is trying to be sent. And it's all very heavily controlled now. There's a survey that just came out not too long ago. For a long time, it seemed like the public wasn't really picking up on what was happening. But now, Gallup had a survey found that the trust and confidence in the mass media to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly has dropped to its lowest level in Gallup polling history. Only 32% of Americans said they had a great deal or fair amount of trust in the media, down from a high of 72% in 1976 in the wake of Watergate. So much of the public has picked up on what's happening, and yet, there's still, a vast majority of the world's population really has no idea that, everything's skewed and moving us towards this, the ultimate goal of the globalist, which is something we delve into in the Babylon Code.
I think that, the alternative media is being majorly targeted, but not only the genuine sites, but I think part of the plan is, we've heard so much about fake news, and I've got quite a bit I can say on the fake news stuff, but a lot of the sites actually are fake news, and those are the ones that really, really annoy me, because I think it's a deliberate part of the ploy to muddy the waters and make it difficult for people, because there are a number of satirical news sites and straight out fake news websites that are putting false stories out there looking like they're genuine sites, and people think it's the truth, because it's some sort of website that appears to be reputable, but it's not. And it's a deliberate plan to muddy the waters, so you'll hear some story about Donald Trump that is, supposedly quotes something from Fox News or whatever, and it's a fake quote, but people buy it and think it's the truth. And I have a suspicion that those websites are probably funded and run by the globalists as a deliberate ploy to destroy the truth.
Well, Tony, I agree with you, because the most dangerous thing, first of all, this entire global strategy of manipulating people's minds and this strategy of calling stuff fake news is highly orchestrated. It goes back to the days of the Fabian socialist H.G. Wells, the science fiction author, Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, and he coined the term the scientific dictatorship, and others. So these were high-level intellectuals who mapped out a plan for a new world order. And the thing that Huxley said, and we discussed the roots of this in the Babylon Code, because this really goes all the way back to ancient Babylon. What Huxley said he said it in 1961 at a University of California, Berkeley presentation he made to a convention of neuropsychiatrists. He said that in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, people will learn to love their slavery or servitude, which means that people will love being slaves. And if the brainwashing is successful, they won't even know they're slaves. And it wasn't just Huxley who said that. It was said by 100, high-level people. So this science of mind control, which is what Orwell was talking about in 1984, where you're actually brainwashing people through systems of scientific brainwashing and behavioral change and social engineering is very much at work. And the people who are driving it are the secret elite of globalists. And as you said, because they've got this propaganda thing down to a science, they raise up these artificial news sites, even inside, you know, the conservative alternative news media. They raise up counterfeit sites in alternative radio and blog sites and websites. And people need to, like you were talking about, they need to discern the difference between a counterfeit, let's say, Christian website or a counterfeit conservative website, which is deliberately pumping out false information so that it discredits all the legitimate conservative or Christian websites and social media. And that is a huge part of the chessboard. So, you know, we agree with you on that.
Yeah, Obama signed an executive order, before he left office targeting fake news. And what if that was deliberately done to actually enable Donald Trump to have even more power to do that, to control the rogue media when Trump is in office? Because obviously Trump can use the executive orders that Obama signed as well. So I mean, a lot of the news, the fake news, is targeting Donald Trump. So it makes it seem like the news is all against Donald Trump, but right. Even that could be part of the whole plan, because then Trump can use that to clamp down on all the media that's not state-owned eventually.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, Tony, because it's like, the whole thing is like a chess game, and the pieces are constantly changing. And one of the things Troy and I wrote in the Babylon Code, we brought out the occultic, supernatural nature and the Luciferian nature of Mystery Babylon that began at the Tower of Babel in ancient Babylon. And the thing that people have to realize, and we document this very carefully in the book, is that Mystery Babylon was a tool of total control by a secret occult elite, whose game plan was to have a tiny percentage of people who would be god kings or the elite, and they would be the master ruling class. But then the vast majority of the other class, it's only a two-class system, the ruling class and then the slave class. And how they would do this is they developed their own economic system. They used sorcery and satanic power, and they elevated the rulers in the minds of the people to be like gods. And we have the same thing going on in our world today. So, and they also use sorcery in the economic system. So for an example of that sorcery would be that at the Tower of Babel, this idea of printing coinage or money from nothing was invented in ancient Babylon. And the goal of that occultic system of money is to create debt slavery. So you control the masses, you make the masses your slaves through debt. And then the other thing is how they weave in sorcery with economics and so on. The other part of that is that it's a completely illusory system. And so people don't understand that the control system that was developed there has been passed on through secret occult societies and secretive religious movements, this knowledge and power. And it's all about, back then in the ancient world, they didn't make an artificial separation between like magic, the supernatural, and the occult, and science and technology and mathematics. From their perspective in Babylon and other powerful ancient civilizations, the occult, supernatural power, science and technology and mathematics were all one system. They didn't separate it, you know? And people don't understand that this concept that science is magic and Sorcery, which the co-author of, or the screenplay writer for 2001 A Space Odyssey, which was based on the novel A 2001 A Space Odyssey, written by Arthur C. Clarke and directed by Stanley Kubrick. Arthur C. Clarke said that science is magic, and people thought he was just making a cute statement. No, he wasn't making a cute statement. He was releasing a very powerful secret. So in our society today, this concept of putting people into a trance state, mind manipulation, mind control, propaganda, persuasion, that stuff was already in usage in Babylon. And today, they simply merged it with technology. So it's not just what we're watching consciously or what we think we're viewing or reading or seeing through our rational minds. The real, more powerful mind control programming is coming at us through the subconscious. So we look at stuff, and if we're just looking at it through our rational minds, we're going to miss this massive amount of information and control that our subconscious minds are completely picking up. And these people understand how to do that. And they are changing our society. And, you know, the purpose of Mystery Babylon was to bring about a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and a one-world religion. And that's exactly what the globalists want today. And so any media, any person, any writer, any talk show host or whatever who dares to go against the one world economic system, the one world government, and the one world religion is attacked and demonized and ridiculed, because that's their way of controlling the masses.
Very good point. Troy, how do you find then, when you're interviewing people and writing articles and things, how do you discern the truth from, you know, error, so that you actually know that what you're hearing and using as information is factual?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a process, you know, of using discernment and your best judgment, you know, and fact checking, making sure that everything you put in the story is verifiable and backed up by, you know, credible sources. That's sort of the criteria I go through. You know, I write for Reuters and I write for Newsmax and different media outlets and publications. And going back to what Paul was saying, you know, if you have teenage children, you'll be aware of this, is that if you try to take away their phones, you know, they've developed this like massive addiction to the phone. And so I wondered about that. I go, like, why are these kids like, they like go into like DTs if you take away their phone? And then I did a little research, and they say that because they've grown up on technology, social media and cell phones and all the computers and stuff, that it's like rewired their brains, and it's almost like a heroin addiction in the intensity. So you know, think about, you know, how much time, especially our children, are spending, you know, with social media and on their cell phones and computers, and how that's all the stuff that's being fed into them, all the subconscious stuff, you know, all the, you know, there's billions and billions of dollars spent by media and think tanks and foundations and secret societies and, you know, all kinds of different organizations trying to manipulate and control the way we think. And the kids are like sort of the guinea pigs for all this. And the polls show that the children, they just sort of like, they go along with whatever sort of the media tells them, whatever's told to them that is cool and popular is what they, you know, naturally go along with. So that these generations coming up are being heavily, massively influenced by all this. And polls show that they tend to lean sort of socialistic, and they think globalism and these globalist ideas are a good thing. And so they're prepping this whole two or three new generations coming up to be ready for this at some point, possibly in the near future.
I think a classic example was a while ago when there was some sort of Pokemon monster or whatever, that they had everyone out in parks with their cell phones trying to catch this some sort of Pokemon monster that they'd released or whatever. And it was just like, oh my gosh, these people were just so virtually mind controlled by this stupid Pokemon game. And I think, you know, in a sense, that was a real test to see just how controlled the people are.
Yeah. My daughter, we went to Claremont here in Southern California, and it's like a little college town, or, you know, they got some of the, you know, elite private colleges there. And it, so you go to downtown Claremont, and like all the kids are like wandering around town, like in this daze, you know, holding their phones, you know, trying to find the little Pokemon monsters. And then I heard stories that, you know, kids were getting mugged and beat up because they're just so focused on playing this game in their phone. They're completely unaware of what's, you know, the real world.
Well, you know, what you're saying is so true, Troy. And the thing is that the Academy Awards, I don't know if your listeners saw it or not, but the Academy Awards really reflects this programming and this social control and social engineering. And you hear all these actors, and the key thing now is to be a globalist, a global citizen, and to be a promoter of one world government, a believer in one world government. And these movie stars and the people getting awards or people they interview at these demonstrations are always talking about these mind control words like diversity or hate speech, or, you know, there's like programming the mind. So what they've done, this secretive occult globalist elite have intentionally for the last 100 years promoted this idea in people's minds that the more compassionate human being believes in globalism, in a one world government. And you're like a Nazi or a fascist if you believe, for example, in the sovereignty of New Zealand or the sovereignty of the United States or whatever. If you believe in your nation or you believe that we should have independent nations, you're portrayed in a mind control atmosphere of being a Nazi and a fascist and an Adolf Hitler type. Yet when you go back to ancient Babylon, the whole message, and Troy and I explained this in our book, The Babylon Code, the whole message that God was trying to tell the human race, and he's trying to tell his church, but his church doesn't read the Bible anymore, is that globalism doesn't work. And the very idea of having a global society and getting rid of independent nation states and independent countries is something that God knows opens the floodgates to a Luciferian order. And that's why he warns about it. Because, you know, on one level, in ancient Babylon, that was the world's first one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. And the people were all one, and they could achieve just about anything. And they were living in harmony. And a lot of people would say, well, that's great. But God didn't put that warning in the book of Genesis to teach us that it was great. It was put there by God as a warning, a dire warning against global government. And that's why God came down to Babylon. And the account, of course, is in Genesis. And he judged ancient Babylon. And he scattered their language, you know, Babel, babbling, and he scattered them all across the earth because God was looking into their hearts, and God knew that the true motive for this one world system of ancient Babylon, the true motive in their hearts was they wanted to be like gods. And it was a Luciferian system where the people were deliberately rejecting the fact that God was the creator and owner of planet Earth, and it was a Luciferian system. So God judges it. Now, God didn't put that account of Babylon in there because he was bored. He put it in there as a warning to mankind, and specifically a warning to Christians, if they would read their Bible, that a one-world government, one-world economic system, and a one-world religion is very dangerous, and he warns that in the last days it's going to return again as Mystery Babylon, and that Mystery Babylon is rising before our very eyes, and the secret occult elite, who are Luciferian, and we prove this in our book, The Babylon Code, they are Luciferian, they are organizing to bring about this revival or a rise of Babylon. And it is a very dangerous thing because it's Luciferian.
And with the media, I see a lot of pushing more in recent times towards the cashless society, yes. which then gets us, once you eliminate cash and things and get everyone into a digital system, that then they can control you completely.
Yes, absolutely. And that whole thing is being promoted by the tech companies and all kinds of media. And a lot of programming of people occurs through science fiction films, science fiction novels, and music videos, and hip-hop and rock concerts, and all the hidden symbolism. You know, I was watching this science fiction film called Arrival, and it was, the whole movie was embedded with some subconscious symbols of globalism and all kinds of things. And just about every Hollywood movie I see that's a big-budget movie, when it comes to science fiction movies, especially, they're programming the young people for globalism. And then, Tony, as you know, in the music industry, whether it's hip hop or rock or whatever, I mean, the Illuminati symbolism, the Luciferian symbolism is so in your face if you know how to recognize the symbols. And it's all programming people to reject this, the Christian order, the biblical belief system, and to begin to be desensitized and embrace Luciferianism, the occult, New Age, and mysticism.
I think the music industry has always been, for a long time, sort of under the control of those people, but it's become so much more blatant now, the symbolism and the type of people that they're getting promoting as their role models, which are just like role models for what? Role models for debauchery, pretty much. But it's right. getting worse and worse. Troy, have you got anything to add in there?
Yeah, one thing is that lately I've been doing interviews for our next book, and I've been, you know, talking to people about this move towards the cashless society, and also this the astronomical levels of debt that all the nations have, all the corporations, and personal debt. It's you know, by some estimates, it's $1.5 quadrillion dollars, which is what's a $1,500 trillion in debt worldwide potentially, and so it's just this astronomical level of debt that could never be repaid. And so some of the sources I'm interviewing, and I'm, you know, I'm in the process of researching this and looking into this, but they're claiming that there's a plan, supposedly. There's a plan to allow President Trump to be in office for a while, and then at some point to crash the global economy. And you know, when this happens, all this chaos ensues, and then eventually blame it on him, blame it on conservatism and principles of nationalism, and that would be the time that they could, you know, bring in this new global system, an economic reset, or some kind of new, you know, cashless currency, and this new system. And so I'm in the process of looking into that and trying to track down, is there evidence that might be, you know, part of the elite's plan here?
There's always been this auto ab caio motto of these Illuminists and the elite. And so they actually use manufactured crisis to push things to the next stage. So perhaps, you know, this is how they'll do it, or a part of the way they'll do it is through an economic collapse as a manufactured crisis.
Well, Tony, you're right. And we talk about this in our book. And by the way, if people want further information, my website is paulmaguire.us. And Troy, what's your website?
Yeah, it's troyanderson.us.
So we talk a lot about what you just referred to, Tony, and that's order out of chaos, which is the symbol of Freemasonry and different occult groups. And often in the 1800s, there would be a very common poster, and it would have the words order out of chaos in Latin on the top of the poster, and then there'd be a picture of the legendary phoenix bird painted in red. And this referred to the New World Order, and that the New World Order would come into being through a process called order out of chaos or manufactured crisis. So this is also on the back of the U.S. dollar, on the right-hand side of the back of the U.S. dollar. It's not a eagle like many people think. It is a phoenix, which represents the legendary bird that dies in the ashes and rises from the ashes. And in fact, there's a Led Zeppelin song, Tony, that you probably know the lyrics to better than me, something about the old order rising from the ash, the new order rising in, from the ashes of the old.
Yeah, that's on the Physical Graffiti album. Yep, the song, it was called The Rover.
Yep. And what's the exact lyric of that?
Oh, I'm trying to think. My mind's kind of a little bit blank.
Okay.
But yeah, I know the song. I'd have to sort of think it through a bit more. Yes.
So they're singing about the old order or the new order rising from the ashes of the old. And that goes into what Troy was talking about. It appears that the globalist elite are trying to create a World War III scenario. No matter how much different nations want peace, it's like they're trying to shove through this World War III scenario. And as I agree with Troy, with the intent of blaming it on Christians and conservatives and nationalism, which will all be hate speech, because they see themselves as smarter, evolved beings. And that's what Aldous Huxley meant with the term the scientific dictatorship. The idea was that a secretive, occult, and scientific elite and technological elite were the only ones fit to rule the masses of society. And therefore, they had like a divine occult right to rule. But what a lot of people don't understand is that so many of these intellectual leaders and so many of these scientists who are promoting either Agenda 21 or sustainable development, which are all, by the way, as you know, pretenses for establishing a new world order. A lot of people don't understand that secretly, a lot of these atheistic scientists and thinkers and philosophers and intellectuals, secretly, they are members, and in the past, they have been members of secret societies like Skull and Bones, the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians, OTO, and so many other either directly satanic organizations. Like for example, and we point this out in the book, the United Nations for years, and it continues today, it started with a company or an organization called Lucifer Publishing, which was founded by a lady who, Alice Bailey, who got information channeled from her spirit guide, and her teachings were based on her mentor, which was Madame Blavatsky, a world-renowned occultist, but she was also a world-renowned Satanist. So satanic teachings are established at the United Nations. So that when they originally opened up this organization on the grounds of the UN, it was called Lucifer Publishing. And the goal was to indoctrinate world leaders into Satanism. They had public outcry, so they moved off the actual physical grounds of the UN, and they changed the name from Lucifer Publishing to Lucis Publishing. But the point is, the people that are at the very top, many of them in the United Nations and other powerful globalist groups, and Stanley Kubrick, the filmmaker, tried to point this out in numerous movies. They belong to a secret Luciferian groups where they conduct satanic worship. And most people just think, you know, they're secular in their mindset. They're not. Secretly, I can name a whole bunch of U.S. presidents that are involved in Satanism, but I'm not going to say it out loud because I want to live. But people need to understand just how powerful this spiritual battle is between God and God's angels and God's people and Satan and the fallen angels and the people who have sold their souls to Satan.
I have a book, I think it was written by Edith Starr Miller in the 1930s, and it points out quite clearly that Karl Marx, who was supposedly an atheist, was in close communication with Mazzini and Albert Pike, who were both, you know, Illuminati heads. He was actually not an atheist, you know, like the people right. think communism is atheism. Well, actually, Marx was not an atheist. He was a Luciferian as well. And so, yeah, that's been all a part of that plan and that push. I just want to go backtrack a little bit to the media and the where we began with the fake news and the takedown. You know, like I see there's a move lately to make it very difficult or even to take down by Google, for example, taking down temporarily, well, not taking down, but banning the sites like Natural News, their information not being linked to Google searches. And there are many other cases I've heard where alternative news websites, the ones that are genuine, are being really facing a big backlash, and they're making it very difficult.
Well, I yeah, it's part of this agenda, and it's very dangerous. You know, I came across Natural News, which was taken down by the Google search engines and stuff, I don't know, about 7-10 years ago, researching stuff. And I always found the Natural News website to be exceptionally legitimate and having a great deal of integrity in what it published. So for them to take down Natural News through Google and other social media giants just shows you how corrupt and fascist these social media companies are, these tech giants are, because Natural News is by no means a flaky or a lying or it's a totally credible website. And it just exposes how evil the other side is. It's not like it's a questionable website. Natural News is perhaps one of the best alternative sites out there.
Taking into consideration, you know, sort of the rising public consciousness of what's sort of happening here. If you just sort of look back, maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years ago, much of the public, you know, really had no idea the things we're talking about now. But just in the last year, year and a half, you know, it seems like a lot of people have become aware of this, especially with President Trump. He came out and talked about, you know, he made globalism a big campaign issue. He made fake news, a big issue. I mean, he came out here and described the mainstream media as the, you know, enemy of the American people. So there's a sort of rising awareness, but at the same time, you know, the elite and the globalists, because they control almost all the media, they control entertainment and all these, you know, different components of the media, you know, there's this huge pushback against all this. So you've got this massive worldwide battle going on right now. And it's essentially a battle focused on controlling the hearts and minds of people. And you know, the occult elite want to, you know, move us into this global system. And some of the sources I'm interviewing are making rather shocking claims about what the ultimate plans are. One source in particular sent me all kinds of stuff about essentially a global coup that is being planned and is now underway. And like Paul said, it's sort of trying to get us into some kind of World War III scenario between America and Russia. And if we take out each other, then it'd be easy for them to, you know, create this new global system. Nobody has any idea, you know, when this might happen, but you sort of see, you know, the pieces on the chessboard being moved into position for something along these lines. It's pretty concerning.
Yes, it certainly is.
Well, as Troy was talking, it just dawned upon me, and I'm sure most of your listeners know about this, but in the case that some don't, when the United States officially handed over the control of the internet to China, and that was done deliberately. And first of all, people need to ask themselves the question, why would the United States of America give away total control of the internet? The economic worth of owning the internet is impossible to calculate. It would have to be in the quantum trillions of dollars in terms of monetary value, whoever controls the internet. So you know, nobody's so stupid as to give away the internet for free. So there had to be a hidden agenda to giving the control of the internet over to China. And one of the things was that the company that was located on the west coast of the United States, the company that was in control of the internet, the global internet, was based in America on the west coast. And it attempted to abide by our U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights, which, of course, has things like freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. Now, a lot of people in very powerful places all over the world, but also in the United States. And by the way, almost every tech giant was behind giving away the internet for free. So that tells you who really owns the tech giants and the social media giants. So we give it to China, and with China is a dictatorship. They have, you know, a total control over their internet. And so now all kinds of censorship is going on and increasing on the internet. And total control and a dictatorial control of the internet is now happening because China is in control of it. I observed firsthand in the weeks after, and it continues on, after China got control of the internet, all of a sudden, when I would click to a link of a news story that would be, of a conservative opinion, or an anti-globalist opinion, or perhaps a Christian opinion. Whenever I would click these links for a news site, a blog site or whatever, or a picture or a video, bam, I'd get a strange error message, an error message like I never got in my entire life. And this continues on. You'll click, a news story will be posted, let's say on Drudge Report or something, and then you click and maybe you'll get to the actual page, or if you get to the front page, you can't get to the page which has the article. So this is fascist censorship of the internet. This is the beginning of a takedown of freedom.
And it can go even with the calling of the mainstream media fake news, because we know a lot of it is fake news, but getting the public to distrust the mainstream media and distrust the alternative media as well, because nothing is, you can't right. be sure what's genuine. Then what is the ultimate goal in the end of that? Does it then become like Soviet Union style and China style, where the state controls the media completely because it's the only reliable source, you know?
I think that absolutely 100% you have told it like it is. That's where it's going. You know, it'll be a happy, smiling face. It'll pretend to be genuine. It'll pretend to be telling the truth, but it will be a global state controlling all information, all content. No, it will not be free at all. It'll pretend to be free, but it will not be free. It'll be total propaganda.
Lin Liar's interviewed Paul Begley a while ago, and he said that he'd been visited by, I can't remember if it was CIA or NSA agents on several occasions. Yes, and basically, do you know about that, Troy?
NSA, I listened to the interview.
Yeah, well, that was, the fact that he came out and said that and said what they had basically told him, I believe that was, I'm not targeting Paul Begley for doing this, but the reason that they allowed him to do that was to put the fear into people like you guys and me and go, oh, we better be careful what we're doing because we're being watched and we're on some sort of a blacklist. So, you know, pipe down, boys, because otherwise, you know, you're a target. And so that was, I think, again, deliberate that he was allowed to come out with that information. And that's not to decry Paul, but right. the fact that, you know, he was put in the position where they obviously didn't mind him coming out in public and saying that they'd visited him and, well, basically threatened him. And so that, again, is another strategy, I think, to try and shut us down.
Well, it's tragic because if what you're saying is correct, and there's a high possibility that it could be, you know, that's self-policing, and you know, we get desensitized, so we get used to all this stuff, and we take this censorship as normal. But that's an egregious violation of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of religion. And if we have to be terrified of government agents coming to people who do Facebooks or blog sites or whatever, just because they publish non-politically correct viewpoints, that's like living in Nazi Germany, or it's like living under communist Russia with the former KGB, when they would drag people off to mental hospitals and brutally drug them and confine them for a lifetime, not because their diagnosis of insanity was based on their politics. I mean, if that's what's happening, and you know, I'm hearing a lot of reports that it is, our world is no longer free. I mean, if we have to look over our shoulders because some government spy or agent is going to threaten to kill us or something because we don't we disagree about global warming or whatever the heck the problem is, you know, that this is brutal totalitarianism.
I actually heard a guy preaching the other day, and he was part of doing a show in Russia. They do it around the world, but Russia was one of the places they visited. And he actually said that as a Christian trying to do this in Russia, it's actually becoming more oppressive in Russia now than it was under the Soviet Union if you're a Christian to preach the gospel or do anything like that. It's pretty much illegal.
In Russia?
Yes, in Russia. And a lot of people think Putin is some sort of a savior of Christianity. Well, the reality is, from what he was saying, that the situation in Russia is actually extremely dangerous if you try and preach the gospel at all.
I'm glad you told me that, because I guess I was buying some of the propaganda about how free it was there.
No, apparently it's actually the people thought when the Soviet Union collapsed that they took the freedom for granted, that they could, you know, be free to do whatever and preach whatever and believe whatever. But it's been clamped down upon more and more, apparently. And it's illegal to even have a prayer meeting in your neighbor's house.
Really?
Yeah. So,
but the tragedy is, the thing that frightens me the most is, we're not that far away. I mean, we're a heartbeat away from that in the United States. It's not like a direct, you can't have a prayer meeting in your neighbor's house. What happens in places like California, it's more like, well, you got three or four or five cars parked out in front of your house. Then it becomes some community issue, and then it has to be shut down by the police, but because you're having a prayer meeting on a regular basis, and neighbors complain. So they can be sneaky about it, but the outcome is the same. They shut it down. They make it illegal.
Yeah. Troy, have you got anything to add in there?
Tony, did you hear any kind of update on what happened with Bagley? Did he report that to anybody, or did he follow up on that whole situation or anything, the latest? Or?
No, I've not actually heard any more than that. I should probably contact Lynn Liars or Paul and ask them. But yeah, that's a little while ago, so I've not actually heard any updates on it.
Well, yeah, I guess one thing that came to mind was, you know, just like Paul mentioned, you know, he, you know, under the impression that things might be a little more free in Russia than you thought, and, you know, you fall for the propaganda. I mean, this is one thing people should be aware of, is that there's, you know, the propaganda and the mind control is so sophisticated that, you know, it's very complicated. It's very nuanced. It could be very subtle. And you really have to just, you know, use your best discernment and pray for the Lord to sort of, you know, guide you, because it could be highly complicated. And the Bible talks about great deception and falling away in the last days. And, you know, this is almost certainly part of it.
Well, also, regarding what Troy just said, I don't know if the situation is similar in New Zealand. I would suppose it was. But in America, we have like two types of people. And we have like two types of Christians also. So we have like two types of like ordinary people, and we have two types of Christians. One group is like in a trance state. They're clueless. They never question anything. They believe everything the media, the mainstream media, tells them, and they just shut down. They shut down their minds from any asking any questions, being analytical, or actually thinking. And the sad thing is that two categories of people exist in the Christian community. And in the Christian community in America, it's about 70% of evangelical Christians. They've shut down their minds. They only accept official story. They're like in a trance state. And then you have the other group of people who question what they see. They analyze what they see. They examine the nuances. They're awake mentally. And that's what people have to do. But it's really tragic when people who claim to be Christians are walking around in the same dazed trance state as non-Christians, because it means they're not thinking. And God gave us the mind of Christ. We're supposed to renew our minds with the Word of God. And a true Christian is supposed to evaluate everything through a biblical worldview, ask questions, not just believe everything that's told them.
And actually, well, looking at it from an outside perspective, being here in New Zealand and looking at what's happening in America amongst Christians, it's become, in many circles, almost sacrilegious if you question Donald Trump, if you question that he's not, that God hasn't given us a reprieve, and that Donald Trump's God's anointed man. It's sort of like he's been raised to this sort of status that you almost can't question him amongst many Christians. And to me, that is an enormously dangerous position to have, because I know I'm not coming out as pro-Trump or anti-Trump here. I'm just stating a fact that if you cannot even question him, then I'm afraid people are in that deep state themselves of deception.
Well, you're right. And, you know, regarding Donald Trump or any particular politician, it's very dangerous, and we've seen it in history, whenever a people worship their political leaders like a messiah or like a godlike prophet figure. And for Christians, it's that they need to do what you said, suggested, which is always question, you know, always think through things, because the potential for being manipulated and controlled could happen through a Donald Trump administration just as easily as through a so-called liberal administration, where Christians, you know, are all suspicious of a liberal president or a liberal administration, but they could just as easily be seduced, if they're not careful, from a conservative administration or politician.
That's excellent. So can you guys give your websites to our listeners again, Paul?
Sure. My website is paulmaguire.us, paulmaguire.us, and tons of information on the Babylon Code and free videos and all kinds of things if people visit.
And Troy?
Yeah. My website's troyanderson.us. And if people are interested in ordering the Babylon Code, they can also go to our publisher's website. It's faithwords.com/Babylon Code.
Okay, so we're getting pretty short on time now. Have you guys got any other points that you want to bring out before we wrap up?
Well, just one short point, and that is if for those people who are Christians, they have a responsibility to walk in the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. And that comes from renewing your mind. And that means using your God-given reason, analytical skills, question things. Just don't succumb to a trance state. That's not pleasing to the Lord. And so that would be kind of an exhortation or a recommendation I would have for people.
Yeah, the best thing I find is, you know, just set aside time each morning or evening to, you know, spend time reading the Bible. Like right now, I'm going through the whole Bible, but you know, in four different sections. You know, like I'm reading Exodus, I'm reading Psalms, reading Ezekiel, and then reading John. So you can sort of, if you mix it up, rather than just starting at the beginning of the Bible and try to read all the way through, if you read like, you know, a couple chapters in four different places, it's an easier way to go through the Bible. And, you know, God's word is amazing. It's, it's living, and it sort of reprograms your mind, you know, binds you to the mind of Christ, and you learn all these things revealed to you. It's just an amazing way to grow and mature in the Lord.
That's a really good point. It's actually being grounded, firmly grounded in the Word. You're for yourselves and in prayer, obviously. We've got to keep our communication going with God. Otherwise, we are rife for deception.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, that's the key.
It is. Hey, guys, I've thoroughly enjoyed this interview, and there's a lot of food for thought. I hope our listeners will actually take it on board, and I'm sure many of them are awake. But if they know people that aren't, perhaps they should share this with those people so that they can help other people to wake up to the truth of what's going on. And we'll look forward to your next book coming out and anything else that you're doing following up with the Babylon Code.
Well, thank you. And we do have another book coming out, and we have some feature film projects that we're working on. So we'll keep you updated on that. And we thank you for having us on. Say hi to everybody in New Zealand, and pray for us in America, because we're kind of messing things up.
Yeah, who isn't, though? Yes, New Zealand seems like a safe place at the moment, but gosh, is anywhere really safe? So thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure having you on, and I will definitely want to get you back soon with updates, like you say, on what's happening with the feature film. And, I mean, there's a lot of other topics we could cover as well. This has been a fascinating discussion. So thank you, Paul, and thank you, Troy, for being on the A Minute to Midnight show.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
Folks, you can find all of our A Minute to Midnight interviews on our website and also articles. Our website is aminutetomidnight.com. That's midnight spelled M-I-D-N-I-T-E. We put our shows out as videos on YouTube. We also put them out as audio-only podcasts on iTunes and on our website. And you can actually find links to all the formats on the A Minute to Midnight website. And we do run this by donations. There is a donation button on our website, and we really appreciate those people that do help us out through donations. It's a real blessing to us, so thank you to those people that help that way. We also have an A Minute to Midnight Facebook group, which you're welcome to join. Brooke Ardoin, Joni Starlin, myself are all part of the group, and we all contribute to it, so you're welcome to join that if you want. And also, I write, record, and play all the music that you find in our shows. And you can find royalty-free music of mine and sound effects packs at rockshoresounds.com. And there's a link to that on the A Minute to Midnight website as well. Anyway, that's about it for today. We will catch you in our next show. So until then, this is Tony signing off.